So good to see you today. Before we get started, I want to remind you, a few weeks ago, we talked about going to different businesses, and if you are a business leader or a business owner, we would come and pray with you, and our One Life team did that. There was over 14 businesses that we went to, some small, some Fortune 500 companies, and there's a picture here I wanted to show you of one of them in particular, Tim Beatty and his team, and they actually sent an email out and encouraged their staff and put a link to the message of blessing, and we went and our One Life ministry went and prayed with them, and I want to encourage you, if you're a business leader or business owner, to go to vineyardcincinnati.com and search One Life. And in a couple weeks, they're having another event on a Friday morning where they're going to be talking about how God can break through in your business. So if you have a business leader, business owner in your home, you should be nudging them right now and go online and check out One Life and be a part. That's all the commercial I had, except for I'm really excited that the Bengals have won two games in a row. Don't get too excited. We have a bye week, and then we play the Steelers. Okay, I was waiting for the one Steeler fan who's like, yeah! And the ushers will escort you out. I'm kidding. Jesus loves everyone, even Steelers fans. He has to. He's Jesus. There is no breakthrough. We should get into the message now. There is no breakthrough that takes God by surprise. As a matter of fact, every breakthrough that we've ever had in science or flight or in medicine, I think many times the Holy Spirit has been leading people to find out what God already knows. He understands. When we discovered the electron, it's not like God was taking notes and he was surprised. It's called a discovery because we uncover what is already there. So when we go to the moon in 1969, we went there because it was the closest thing that we could get to, 238,000 miles away. We traveled about 17,000 miles per hour. And when we got there and we landed on the moon, it's not like God had to go with them so that he could say, oh, this is what all the rage is about. I wondered what was up here. No. If we wanted to go to Mars, that's a totally different story. 33 million miles away. Now, the good news is we can travel 38,000 miles per hour now, but depending on when you would leave, you'd travel between 39 days and 261 days because it's not just 33 million miles away, but it's also a moving target. So, and can you imagine, driving? I can imagine driving 38,000 miles per hour. That'd be awesome. But going 38,000 miles per hour for 40 days in space headed to, I'm not signing up for that. You can't get in an RV and go 400 miles without something breaking down. And you're going to be gone for 60, 70, 80 days going 38,000 miles per hour hoping that nothing. The point is, when we would get to Mars, if we arrive there, God's already been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I want to remind you today, our God, the God that we serve, is a breakthrough God. He is a God who is not aloof, not one who has set the stars in motion and spun the world off and then just sits back with a long white beard, aloof and distant. He is engaged, he is caring, he's loving, and he's a God who's always broken through. The Bible says that when it was formless and void, when there was total darkness, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. God spoke and created light. He took the initiative from the very beginning. He's a breakthrough God. He broke through the darkness with his voice, that at the sound of his voice, light would be created. And the first day would be created. But it goes on from there. I mean, how do you go through all of the times when God has broken through into our world? You could really divide the Bible up instead of Old and New Testament. You could go first 11 or 12 chapters and then the rest. Because it's in the first 11 or 12 chapters where all of a sudden God shows up to Abram. He shows up on the scene and he breaks through and he makes a promise to this man, this one man, a promise that God was going to create his people, This is something that we're still living in today. This promise that God made to Abram, he was like 95, 100 years old, his wife's 90s, 100 years old, and he promises them of all things, you're going to have a child. And they laughed, proving they were indeed humans. They existed. They were at a time in their life when they didn't even buy green bananas. You know what I'm talking about? Never know. And God comes along and says, you're going to have a son, and through your child and through your lineage, I mean, look up at all the stars that I've created. As numerous as they are, so are your children going to be. I'm going to make this promise through you. And they laughed, and they went to the store and to Kroger and bought diapers for everybody. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. God broke through. He didn't have to break through. God did not have to make this promise to Abram. He didn't have to create you and me. He didn't have to come and make this promise either. And it goes on from there where he comes to Moses. Moses is at a time in his life when he was he had killed an Egyptian. He had thought that his... There was a time in Moses' life where he thought he kind of had a mission from God, but that was all gone. He had killed the Egyptian, and he had spent the last 40 years in the wilderness. And really, his best days, he thought, were behind him. But then God broke through. And while he's out in the wilderness one day, the backside of a desert, there's this shrub that catches on fire, but it's not consumed. And God speaks to Moses about how he's going to deliver the people. God breaks through and calls. You know, when you think your best days are behind you, God can break through in your life and give you a new mission and a new vision and a new purpose. That's because he's a breakthrough God. Next thing you know, they are, in fact, leaving Egypt and the bondage of the Egyptians. And the first thing they do is come up against the Red Sea. They're back against the wall, and God breaks through again, as he will do so many times. And he tells Moses, you know, take your staff and lift it over the water. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea parts. It's a phrase we still use. I mean, when you watch football, I was watching it yesterday, and they say when somebody breaks through into the open, the Red Sea parted. And God showed up in that moment when they needed him most. And when the Egyptians come to ride on that same dry ground, it swallows them up. God is a God who breaks through. When you have your back against the wall, there have been times where my back has been against the wall. And the only thing that would help me is if God would break through. And he has the ability to break through in those moments when your back's against the wall. There's nothing else you can do. There's no one else you can turn to. I think he rather likes those moments. Those are those moments when your prayer life gets real good, doesn't it? All of a sudden, man, you get real spiritual all of a sudden. You get to know God in those moments. I've got to have help. And he can break through in that area. Then he calls David. This is all in the lineage of Abram. All of this is still happening according to this promise. I love when he calls David. King David, and we've read all the stories about King David and his amazing exploits, but when he was a boy, his dad didn't even think that much about him to include him when the priest came to anoint the next king. He didn't even call him in from the field. When other people count you out, God can break through in your life. When other people have said you won't be anything or you won't do anything and your life won't matter, when they've spoken all of those words over you, God can speak a word over your life that's different than that. He can call you. He can choose you. He can select you. And all the good-looking tall brothers were there. All the strong, strapping brothers were there. But none of them were it. And the priest was sure that this one was it. But it wasn't. He actually had to say, do you have any other kids around? This is the way God operates. You might have thought you're the last and you're the least, but you're first on his list. You're first on his list. The one that everyone else overlooks, the one that everyone else doubts, that's the one that God chooses. He chooses the foolish things of the world, the small things of the world, and he confounds the wisdom of the wise with that. He likes to do that. Go get your son, David. Where's he at? Oh, he's out. He's a shepherd. You don't want him. He's the one I'm going to call. He's the one I'm going to use. We serve a God who can break through. There was another time when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, about 3 months in, when Moses is meeting with God on a mountain. You remember this story where God shows up on a mountain and he hides himself with clouds and thunder and darkness? And he tells all the people, don't even touch the mountain. You'll die. And then God tells Moses, tell all the priests to consecrate themselves, lest God break out against them. This reminds me, God is a breakthrough God. He's a breakout God. God is a God who takes initiative. He's the one who makes the first move. You need to know this about God's character and his nature, that he is not sitting back aloof, but he is engaged. He is on the move. He's watching over his word to perform it. He's waiting to do something in your life. He wants to do something in your life. He knows what you're going through, and he's a God of action and a God of movement. When I gave my life to Jesus finally in college, I mistakenly would tell people that I found Jesus, like he was lost. If you know Jesus today, little newsflash, you did not find him. He came looking for your sorry self. He found you. What would you do to reach God? What would you build to reach heaven? But you couldn't. But he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world, coming to us, taking initiative to find us. If you've been located by Jesus, if you've been found, you didn't find him, he found you. The fact that you could even respond to Almighty God and his saving grace is a testimony to how great he is. God, thank you that you looked for us. Thank you that you went searching for us. Thank you that you found us. Thank you, God, that you made a way to find us when there was no other way. You did it, God, and we respond to you. It's all glory and honor to you. He found us. He found you, of all people. He's a God who takes that initiative. He's a God of breakthrough. Then there's prophecies all throughout Isaiah. What is it, 700 years before Jesus ever comes to the planet? Hundreds of prophecies about a Messiah that would be fulfilled in great detail. Don't doubt the logical nature of our God. Hundreds of prophecies were fulfilled from the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus ever showed up. As a matter of fact, in the last 24 hours of his life, 39 specific prophecies were fulfilled. 39 specific prophecies were fulfilled that were written, proven written, hundreds of years before Jesus ever existed. Smarter people than me tell me that the chances of eight of these prophecies happening, would be the same as, are you following me right now? Would be the same as if you take a silver dollar and fill the state of Texas 2 feet deep with silver dollars. Are you still with me? Texas is a big place. One time I got on a plane in Houston, flew for 2 hours. I was still in Texas. Could not believe it. Fill the entire state with silver dollars, 2 feet deep. Are you still with me? But you're allowed to, on one silver dollar, put a red X. Now, what you do is you go on the west side of Texas and you walk all the way across. And then you go on the south side and you walk all the way up, Houston to Dallas and way up there. And you're blindfolded during this walk. Are you still with me? And you're going to be sunburnt too. And while you're walking, that long walk, east or west or north or south, at one point, you can stoop down blindfolded and pick up one of those 2 feet deep silver dollars. Don't be filling your pockets all the way on this walk. Just one. And if you have grabbed the one with the red X, that is the likelihood of fulfilling eight of the 39 prophecies from Isaiah. And Jesus fulfilled 39 of them in one day, and over 100 of them in his life. You know why? Because he's the Messiah. Because he's the Savior, that's why. And when God broke through and sent his son, God invaded the planet with a baby. Think about it. And if you want to read about how astronomical that was, how unbelievable that was, how unlikely it would be that Christ would even succeed as a baby, you'd have to go to John the Revelator and read in Revelation about exactly what was going on in the heavenlies when Jesus came to the planet. But he did survive because God wanted to break through. And he lived a perfect sinless life because God wanted to break through. And then he went to the cross. All of heaven's holiness becoming sin, so that all of earth's sinfulness could become holy. All of heaven's holiness coming and becoming sin, taking your place where you should die. But then he dies so that you could live. And when the sky grew dark on that day when he was crucified, of course, then when he died and he breathed his last, into your hands I commit my spirit, he said. He trusted the Father even with his own life, even to the point of death on the cross. So this he would be given a name above all names. Then the veil was torn in two at that very moment in Jerusalem. A breakthrough. No longer just the priest that can go in and those who are considered holy, but now we have a high priest who's acquainted with us and knows our weaknesses and has allowed us by his grace to come boldly to that throne, sprinkled not with the blood of lambs and sheep, but sprinkled with the precious blood of the Lamb that we could come in. He broke through into that holy place for us. What a breakthrough. But he wasn't done yet. Because on the third day, the greatest event in all of human history, that he comes back from the grave. Do I need to say the word breakthrough right now? I mean, come on. When he walked out of the grave, it wasn't just walking out of the grave for himself, proving again that he's the Messiah. It's that anyone who would believe in him would have the same experience. That we could say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, sin, what do you have holding on to me? But now I can have victory over sin. I can have victory over death. I can even reign with him for all of eternity, starting now as I trust in him. He's not the only one that came out of the tomb, but everyone who believes in him came out with him. What a breakthrough. Then a couple weeks later, after he freaks the disciples out for a couple weeks, walking through walls and whatnot, because once you come back from the dead, you do what you want. Am I right? And all of hell is shaking and thinking, what are we going to do now? We use the only weapon that we really have, and if you can't kill a man, what are you going to do with him? A couple weeks after he does all these other miracles and feeds the disciples on the shore and restores the Apostle Peter, feed my sheep. He starts taking off and up towards the sky without any rocket help. He ascends into heaven. The disciples are so freaked out that they just stand there looking. And angels have to speak from heaven in Scripture. Hey, y'all break it up down there. There's nothing to see here. Go home. In the same way that he went up, he's going to come back down. He broke through. Ascended into heaven. And he said, it's a good thing that I'm going away. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And on the day of Pentecost, yet another breakthrough. We serve a God who likes to break through into our life. And they were all assembled there praying. And the Holy Spirit, I mean, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. What is it? God's breaking through. And his Holy Spirit comes and descends upon them and appears as if tongues of fire on their head. And all the people who were gathered around heard them speak in their own tongue. They were gathered for the Passover. And what is this? And the Apostle Peter stands up with great boldness, now filled with the Holy Spirit, not some weak, lame, gonna do it on his own, now filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preaches the gospel, and thousands of people come in, and they're saved, and now they're looking for water. Where are we gonna baptize all these folks? About that time, not short thereafter, Saul was traveling on the road. He's killing Christians. But as every great Christian radio show says, God had other plans. I always love that part of the show. Like they tell you that whole story, but God had other plans. You could use that in your own testimony. You could tell your story, and then you need to come to that point and dramatically you need to say, but God had other plans. And Jesus breaks through a bright, shining light and knocks Saul on his can. The Bible says it, but not exactly that way. Blinded him. Blinded him. Jesus said to Paul, "Why are you fighting against me? Who are you, Lord?" He realizes that he's the Messiah. Jesus even will break through in Saul's life. When you read the New Testament, chances are you're reading Paul's writing in most of the New Testament. And Paul gives up his law degree. Paul gives up his religious pursuits of trying to be self-righteous. And he has a living relationship with Jesus. "All these things that I once had, I count as garbage compared to knowing Jesus Christ." Not a religious experience. He didn't have a religious experience. You don't need to have a religious experience. You need to have an encounter with the living God. And that's what he had. He had an encounter with the living God, blinded for 3 days, and then meet with this other guy, and he'll pray, and the scales will be removed, and then you'll go on your way. And he changed, God changed the trajectory of his life. Have you had your trajectory change lately? God will do that with you. You got to watch out what you pray for. You got to watch out. Giving your life to Jesus, some of you are considering giving your life to Jesus. Could I warn you? Praying those prayers, he's going to mess your life up. He's going to change your thinking. He's going to change your heart. He's going to change your vision. He's going to change your love for people. He's going to give you compassion. He's going to mess with you. This is why Jesus said, consider the cost before you give your life to him. Who knows what he might do with your life? Who knows where he might send you and who he might touch through your life? There's been even people that he sent to Cincinnati, Ohio. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. You need an encounter with Jesus. This is what it's really all about. Hebrews chapter 1:1-3 says this. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. That was long ago. But listen, and now in these final days, you feel this split in what the author is saying. Now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When Jesus had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Folks, you already know this, but it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus told them, you search the scriptures, but you miss the point. Because if you would be looking, you would find me all throughout the scriptures. Wasn't it on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had been raised from the dead? He hid somehow who he was from these guys. And then when they got closer to the house, he revealed who he was. And he spoke to them, teaching of himself, starting with Moses. He went all the way back. This entire story leads up to the crescendo of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. We have to talk about Jesus. I'm so thankful that when we stand before God, there's a lot of jokes about the pearly gates and when you get to the pearly gates and all that. I'm so glad that when we get there, there's not an entrance exam. What if it was math? Some of you'd be excited and you need to be slapped. I'll be honest with you. Like, oh goody, an equation, yay. And then some of us would just immediately give up. There isn't an equation when we get there. There's a "Do you know my son? Do you know my son?" Here's a terrible illustration. When I was in college, we'd go to parties before I was serving the Lord, and we would, you go to the door and they give you a red Solo cup. Now they write country songs about this thing. And you go to the door and you pay for the cup. This is a terrible illustration. And through the whole night, if you buy the cup, then you can drink all night. You pay for it. But if you go to the door and you know the person who lives there, oh man, now we're talking. because now you get the cup for free. This is a terrible illustration, I'm sorry. But it really is true. God has made it so that there is no religious contortion that you could, there's no priest that can save you. There's no pastor that can save you. There's no church membership that can save you. There's no amount of self-discipline that will save you. The only way you can be saved, there's one name under heaven by which we can be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. In this illustration that's so terrible, he is the red cup. He's the person at the door that we know that allows us to get in. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know. And not just knowing him as demons know him, because demons know him and tremble. They know that he's the Son of God, but that you entrust your entire life to him, that you would know him in that way. That God would, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, that he would make a relationship for us. He could have done it any other way. And we would have to abide, wouldn't we? I mean, if God said that you have to jump this high, run this fast, be this smart, be this tall, be this way, if you had to fill out some paperwork, then we would have to do it. We're subjected to him. He's God. But in his loving way, he sent his own son and died for us and said, if you trust in him, he is the way. I'm so thankful he made a way by relationship and not religion. I'm so thankful he made a way that's real and honest and true and from our heart and our soul and who we are. And not something out there that's rote and cold and religious and self-righteous. It's nothing that we've done on our own, but everything that he's done. It's not that we've found him, it's that he's found us. I'm just encouraging you, sometimes you just need to rehearse the goodness of God in your life. Rehearse the power that he has and tell him how wonderful he is. I'm just saying that in order to get your breakthrough, you simply need to encounter Jesus. You just need to encounter him. In every area of my life, come by here, Lord. Because every place that Jesus went and people encountered him, he messed them up. There was a woman who had spent all of her money, and the doctors had not only not helped her for 12 years, but they made her worse off. She got this feeling, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just touch him. I'll fight through the crowd. I know I shouldn't be touching anybody. She was supposed to, in this culture, stay back and say, I'm unclean, but she refused. So many times in Scripture where people wanted to encounter Jesus, they'd climb a tree or they'd holler out at people around them and say, what are you doing? This woman fought through the crowd and, grabbed a hold of the Messiah. Think about it. And he actually stopped the crowd and said, hey, which one of y'all touched me? They're like, Lord, they're all pressed all around you. Everybody touched you. He said, nah, power left my body. And now you can imagine her. She's like, do I tell him? Because I think I just shoplifted from Jesus. If I tell him, will he make me give it back? Because I've been 12 years and I'm healed. I'm just going to sneak out of here with what I got. But I think she was really afraid. She didn't know. Man, no, that's what he came for. You encounter Jesus. And my favorite story is in John chapter 9. I'll go quickly. Says this rabbi, his disciples said to him, why was this man born blind? Was it because his own sins or his parents' sins? Do you see how humans think? We've always thought this way. It's the same way with Job. When Job was going through all of his troubles, what did his friends come around and say? Obviously, you've done something against God. But we know the real story is that before they even knew that, in the first couple chapters, this had nothing to do with Job's sin. This had everything to do with Job's righteousness. I'm just encouraging you as a Christian, don't be superstitious. Don't think that just because you got in a car wreck that somehow God's paying you back. If God wanted to get you, you'd be got. If God wanted to kill you, you'd be dead. He doesn't want to kill you. He wants to save you. He doesn't want to harm you. He wants to rescue you. He doesn't want to destroy you. He has a future and a hope for you. He's proven it by his own son. By allowing his son to die in our place, he's proven this. So don't be superstitious. Don't talk about karma. We don't, as Christians, believe in karma. We believe in sowing and reaping, but we believe we have a Father. We don't trust our lucky stars. We have a Father who designed the stars. See, we're in a relationship with him. So, Jesus is not a formula. He is the form of God made flesh and dwelling among us. There is no formula. There is no method. There is a man, Jesus Christ. You know, as a man, if you're married, you kind of wish there would be just a formula, right? Sometimes, if you were honest. What do you want me to say? Have you ever said that? What do you want me to do? Because men are dumb. We know. What could I buy right now? What do I just let me solve? It's not that easy, gentlemen. You know that already, right? Requires listening. And then a whole lot of other really painful things like that. It's a relationship, and it's the same way with Christ. It's a relationship, ongoing, messy, vibrant, meaningful, mysterious, wonderful. Why was he born blind? Jesus then would reply, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God could be revealed in him. God wants to do something in your life, Jesus is saying. And all of these things, as a believer in Jesus Christ, even the things that are difficult will work together for good. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. This doesn't mean everything's going to be good. This means eventually God will work it out for his good, for your good, if you'll continue to follow him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will direct your paths. I know that even if I don't understand what I'm going through right now, I'm called by God and his purpose is right. And he's even working out all the rough stuff. It's going to give him glory. It's going to advance the cause. It's going to advance his cause in my life. I trust that completely. John 9, 6 through 12, it says this. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud. Don't you love Jesus? With the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, and this word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, hey, isn't this the same man who used to sit along and beg? He looks familiar. There's something different about him, though. Some claimed that he was, and others said, nah, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, no, it's me. I'm the guy. I'm the man. Well, how then were your eyes open? They asked. And he replied, well, the man they called Jesus, pretty sure he spit. Holy spit. Made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, and so I went and I washed and I could see. Well, where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. This is an awesome story of a progressive way that God cares for people. There's two things I'll bring to light here, and I'll pray and we'll go. Say, I want to encounter Jesus in every area of my life, in the area where I need to break through. I want to encounter Jesus. I want you to do just like this blind man did. Be open to the hope of Jesus' help. Here's a guy standing there blind, and he is willing to have a complete stranger spit on the ground, make mud, and touch the very part of him that was most broken. Will you allow Jesus to touch the part of you that's most broken? Next weekend, we're going to talk about how breakthrough comes through brokenness. This is what he did. How wonderful is this guy? I don't really know who he is. I don't know. But hey. They said, where is he? They're like, I don't know. I didn't see him. I was blind back then, remember? Never laid eyes on him. No. Now, eventually in the story, Jesus comes back around. And he says, and the guy actually says to him, just like the woman at the well, well, they say that there's a time and there's a place and the Messiah is going to come. Jesus said, well, I'm standing right here and I'm the man. And he worshiped him. Don't you believe that? He gave him his whole life, everything. He loved him. He worshiped him. And how gracious of Jesus to touch him where he was hurting, not expecting anything, and then just graciously bring. God is graciously bringing you along, isn't he? So kind to us. And then the last thing is this. Just decide to do what Jesus says to do. Jesus spit in the dirt, wiped it on the guy's eyes. He was open. And then he said, now go. Well, who does this guy think he is telling me what to do? Well, he's the Messiah. Now, this is the secret to growing in Jesus. You say, how can I really grow in Jesus? It's really simple. You read, everybody here reads Project 345. I know you read average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds a day, a chapter a day, and then whatever he says do, you do, and you'll grow. How can I grow in God? How can I be more like him? It's real simple. He's the boss. He'll tell you what to do, and then you go do it. And if you're like me, you might wait a few days just to make sure, or you might wait a few months, but eventually you'll go and wash, and you'll come back seeing, and you'll say to yourself, why didn't I do that sooner? My prayer for us this week is that we would hear his voice and we would do what he said. We would encounter him in every area that we need. Would you stand with me and we'll pray? Thank you, Father, for your help. Thank you, Father. I'll remind you just before I say a quick prayer. Orientation to the Vineyard is today. If you're feeling like taking a step and being committed to this as your church home. Also, this coming Saturday is a Serve Saturday. We're going to be in Lincoln Heights partnering with some dear friends of ours there. And we're so excited about this partnership. And I hope you'll come out and have that that party with us and just minister to people. So, Lord, we come to you. Oh, would you bow your heads with me? And we'll pray. Sorry. Lord, we just come to you today. We ask you for your grace, mercy, and help. Lord, that we would be open in every area of our life to have you touch us, that we would want to encounter you in every area. Thank you for your patience with us and your grace with us. And God, help us to be obedient in the things that you're asking us to do, that we would stop negotiating and we would just take the step that you're asking us to take. Now, I pray for your people today. I thank you for them, Lord. I pray that your peace would reign in their home and their hearts. I ask you for wisdom, for where they need your wisdom to lead and guide them. God, I pray for a special measure of joy and peace in their lives. And we thank you, Father, that we go with you today. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.